that it doesn't cover up their faults. It doesn't remove where they made mistakes or where they did some things that were wrong. But instead, your word tells us exactly what was done, what was said by each of these individuals. And Lord, it's a lesson for all of us to learn from. I just pray, Lord, that we will each learn the lesson that we need to learn today from this moment of time in Abram's life. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever gone to a trip somewhere? Maybe you're going to go on a vacation, and you think you've done everything to get ready, but as you got about 20 minutes down the road, you start to think, wait a minute, did we pack everything that we were supposed to pack? Did we take everything that we were supposed to take? And you are very much tempted to turn the car around and go back just to make sure. Or maybe you had a busy day and you went from place to place doing different things, and about halfway through the day you say, now wait a minute, I think I'm forgetting something. Oh yeah, I forgot, and it could have been my keys or my credit card or could have been anything. I forgot this. Where did I put it? And so what do you usually do? You go back and you trace every step. Where was I last? And where was I before that? Where was I before that? And you trace your steps back until you find the thing that you've misplaced. Well, here we have in the scriptures an account in the life of Abram where he had lost something in taking this trip to Egypt. And he realizes that he had lost something and he needed to get it back. Now, he hadn't lost God. God was still watching over Abram. God was still with Abram. And in fact, he protected him and his wife when they were facing great danger there in Egypt. Abram didn't lose his wife, Sarai. He could have, couldn't he? But God protected it, and he didn't lose his wife in Egypt. And he hadn't lost his possessions. In fact, when Abram left Egypt, he was far richer walking out than he was when he walked in. Remember that people who were interested in his sister, Sarai, would give gifts to Abram. And so he ended up leaving there with great wealth. The Bible says he was rich in livestock and silver and in gold. But Abram had lost something. And what was it that Abram had lost? Abram had lost that great joy that he had back when he was at Bethel, back when he had offered up his sacrifice in thanks to the Lord. And the Bible says that he rejoiced at that time at Bethel. He had wandered away. He had taken that detour to Egypt. He had gotten into all kinds of problems. And now as he's leaving Egypt, he knows that he is missing that great joy that he had when he was back in Bethel. And so Abram makes a decision. He realizes, I need that joy that God gave me and that God put in my heart. And I need to go back to the place where I last had it and get that joy back again. And it reminds us what Jesus said about Abram. Keep your finger here in Genesis 13 and go again to John chapter 8. We need to remind ourselves that Jesus himself pointed this out about Abram. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 56. And remember, this is what Jesus said about Abraham. He says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was what? Glad. Jesus pointed out in his speaking to the religious leaders of his day, he said, remember Abraham, when he met with the Lord in Bethel, he saw me there, and he rejoiced to see me in that day, and he was glad. He had that joy. And so Abram had that joy, but he had lost that joy. It was near Bethel that the Lord had appeared to Abram. It was near Bethel that the Lord gave the promise to Abram, I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. It was near Bethel that Abram worshiped at the altar and that he committed himself to the Lord. And it was near Bethel that Abram, the Bible tells us, called on the name of the Lord there at that place. After the struggle and the spiritual failure that he experienced in Egypt, Abram realized that it was time to go back to Bethel and find what he had lost. And so that's why it says in Genesis 13:3, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. He wanted to go back to where he had been, in Bethel, where he had that joy, where he was glad, where he saw the Lord, and where he called upon the Lord's name. In the Bible, Bethel would come to represent something. It would represent a place where one could renew fellowship with God. The name Bethel itself means the place of the Lord or the house of the Lord. And Abram realized, I had joy at Bethel. I've lost my joy in taking that detour to Egypt. I need that joy in my heart back. And so he determines to go back to the place that he found that joy in the Lord. He wanted to go back to the place where God wanted him to be. He wanted to go back to the place where God had blessed him and promised to bless him. He wanted that joy back again. I think in every Christian's life, in every true believer's heart, there is a spiritual Bethel. There is a place where we met with God and God blessed us and put a joy in our hearts and in our lives. And it was a special place, a special memory, a special moment in our spiritual life. It was a place of a new beginning. It was a time where we felt the joy of the Lord and we could see the Lord at work in our own heart and in our own lives. When I think of my own walk and journey with the Lord, there are three Bethels that I think of in my own personal life. The first Bethel in my life was at First Baptist Church of LaGrange, Ohio. LaGrange, Ohio is just a little small farm town. Back when I lived in it, there was about 300 people. Now they've really had a great population boom. I think there's now 2,000 that live there. But it was just a small rural town. My dad and my grandfather farmed in that area. Many of his friends were farmers. They would go into the town to the granary and to the co-op, and they would turn in their harvest there. If they needed some groceries, Mom would take the car down to the little small corner grocery store in LaGrange. But there was a special church there. There was a special place there. It was the place where my grandfather had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a little boy, I saw him get baptized in that little First Baptist Church of LaGrange, Ohio. And it was there, when I was just a 7-year-old boy, that they had a revival meeting going on. And the name of the evangelist was Moody Adams. And it was on a Friday night in November, and it was cold outside. And the evangelist had announced, "We're going to have old-fashioned night in our church. Everybody wear old clothes like you were living back in the late 1800s or early 1900s. We're going to have kerosene lanterns light the whole place." And they made it like it was an old-fashioned church of years ago. And so I went to church that night with a pair of bib overalls and flannel shirt on. And I sat with my family, and Moody Adams preached the gospel, the simple gospel message. He preached about the cross and Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and how he took all the punishment that we deserved upon himself, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day, and that we could have our sins forgiven, and that we could have a new life in Christ if we would trust in him. And so even though I was just 7 years of age, they gave the invitation, and I pushed mom and dad aside. I was so eager. I wanted to accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior that night, and I did. And that's where my walk with the Lord began. That's when I received salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that was my first Bethel. But then a second Bethel in my life happened on the island of Okinawa. I was in the military. I was drafted in 1972. And while I was in the military, they sent me halfway around the world to Okinawa. And it was there that I had gotten out of fellowship with God. And army life was difficult. And my mother was concerned, and she wrote a letter to a missionary of a church over there, Maranatha Baptist Church. And she said, "Can you find my son? Because I am concerned about him." And so that missionary came and found me in the barracks. And he talked with me very frankly. And he asked me if I was living for the Lord. I said, "I'm saved, but no, I haven't been living for the Lord." And I'll never forget what he told me. He says, "Then you're a waste of God's time." Now, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? But that's exactly what I needed to hear, that my Savior died for me and gave his life for me, and that if I truly belonged to him, then I needed to live for him. And so at midnight that same day, I got down on my knees at my bunk, and I told the Lord that he was in charge of all of my life, not just parts of my life, but all of my life. And that was a turning point. That was a Bethel in my life. It was there then that God called me to be a preacher. It was there that I led my first soul to Christ in sharing the gospel. And it was there that God made a move and a change in my life, that after I left the military, I went to Bible college to train for the ministry. And so that was my second Bethel. And then my third Bethel happened in 1979, in the winter of that year. It was at First Baptist Church of North Ridgeville, Ohio. And I had just graduated from the college and finished my work in the seminary. And this little church, pretty similar in size perhaps to what this church was, had me come as a guest speaker. And then the next thing I knew, they wanted me to be their pastor. And the Lord called me to become the pastor of that little church. It was there that I learned how to be a pastor. A lot of pastors spend time as an assistant pastor somewhere. In my case, God did something different, and he had me right from the start be the senior pastor of a church. And some lessons I learned the hard way. I made a lot of mistakes as a young man. Remember the first time I baptized somebody, and I asked somebody who was a pastor for many years, show me how to baptize, because I had never baptized a person before. And so he kind of showed me how to do it. And then the church had this baptismal pool that, oh, I don't know, is about the size of that piano. It wasn't very big at all. And I decided I was going to wear bib waders. And you know how you go fishing in the stream. And so I had these hip boots, or whatever you call them, waders. And so the first person I baptized, I put them under the water. Well, when I went under the water, all the water rushed down into that those bib waders. And I'll tell you, I finished baptizing the ones that I baptized, but I could hardly get out of there. I had to figure out, how do I get the water out of these bibs? And I learned there. And I learned the importance of prayer. And I learned how to be a pastor at that church back in 1979. And I was there for 5 years. Learned a lot of things. It was there that I ended up getting married to Pam. It was there that our only child, Jonathan, was born. And so whenever I go up to Ohio, I try to make it a point, if I can, to drive over to that church and just sit in the parking lot and just look at it and remember all the things that God had taught me there. That was a Bethel in my life. Sometimes we need to go back spiritually to our Bethel, to the place where we especially met with God and God met with us. Sometimes we can get careless and cold-hearted in our spiritual lives. Sometimes we can become cynical. We can become argumentative. We can end up losing sight of the greater vision of what God wants us to do. And that's why all of us from time to time need to go back to that Bethel, the place where God put joy in our hearts, the place where we met with God and called on God's name, and the Lord blessed us. We need to go back to where we used to be spiritually, back to the place where we used to be in our own spiritual walk with God, back to the place where God wants us to be, back to doing the things that God wants us to do. That's true individually as individual Christians, and that's also true of a church. Sometimes churches get stuck in a rut, and they do the same thing over and over and over again. It's the where you don't even need a bulletin because you know what it was supposed to happen next, as if God would not do something different, as if God did not have another plan or another idea that he wanted you to try. And sometimes churches need to also go back to Bethel. There are several passages of Scripture that urge us from time to time to examine our spiritual lives and see if we need to go back to where we were before, that we have that joy of the Lord in our own hearts and in our own lives. Let's take a look at Psalm 139 for a moment. Psalm 139. And the earlier part of that psalm reminds us that we can never really get out of the presence of God, that he knows where we are. He knows how we're doing. He knows what we need. You look at verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness as the light, and the light are both alike to you. But look down now at the last two verses of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. You see, God is there. You can't lose the presence of God. But there are times when we need to pray then to the Lord. Well, then, Lord, you search my heart. You show me, do I need to go back to Bethel? Have I lost the joy in my heart and the gladness that I used to have, but somehow is now missing? And ask God to give it back to you and go back to the place where it happened before. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So all of us need to consider going back to Bethel from time to time, just as Abram did. Psalm 4, verses 26 and 27, we're told, ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, how can I tell when I need to go back to Bethel? Well, there's some ways that we can tell that we need to do that. First of all, when I know that I used to have a closer walk with God than I do now. If I can look at my life and I could say, you know, at a time I was closer to God than I am right now. That's a sign that you need to go back to Bethel. It's time for me to let the Lord search my heart and show me why I don't have that joy, why I don't have that gladness. Secondly, when I find that I don't pray as much as I used to, if I can look at my life and I used to pray and pray regularly and pray for others and pray for the church and pray for the pastor and pray for the deacons, but you know, I'm not really praying like I used to pray. I'm not really praying for my church like I used to pray. That's a sign, perhaps, that you need to go back to Bethel. Here's another indicator. When I have less of a hunger for reading the Scriptures. In other words, that you may still even read the Scriptures, but the hunger for reading the Scriptures. You know, if you're like me, you go for a while without food, and you start to get hungry. It's not like somebody has to tell you, you know, you could use something to eat. You start to have that hunger. You say, I really need that. I sense I need to have some nourishment. And that happens to us spiritually when we're walking in fellowship with the Lord. There's a hunger that God puts in us to regularly read His Word. And if we've gotten away from hungering after reading the Bible and studying the Word of God, not just on Sunday, and it's great that we're here on Sunday, but more than just Sunday, but have a meal of God's Word through the week as well, so that our soul will be satisfied and we will see God work in our own lives on a daily basis. Do I have less of a hunger for reading the scriptures? And then here's another indicator. When worshiping God becomes a ritual instead of our heart's desire, there should be a desire in our heart to worship the God who loves us and the God who provided for our salvation. And when it becomes a ritual, when it becomes just, well, it's Sunday, it's the thing to do, it's a habit I have, it has to be more than just a habit. And not just worshiping God in church, but to daily worship the Lord. Every day that God gives us can be a church service. It can be like a Sunday when we worship the Lord each day. And then when I don't have that same personal burden to share my faith with others that I used to have. Pam read from Psalm 51, and the last verse she read was, I believe, verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. It's saying what Abram needed. Abram was saying to himself, I need that joy back. But the next verse, verse 13, says, then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. One of the ways as a church that we can see people get saved and added to a church is that we allow the Lord to examine our own hearts and lives. And if we do not have the joy of our salvation, we need to get back to that. Because when we have that, then it says, then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. That's what God's word says. When I allow wrong desires and sinful appetites to be what I seek after instead of seeking to please God, then I need to go back to Bethel. So how do you do that? How do you go back to Bethel? Well, in Abram's case, he knew you head south, get out of Egypt, and then turn and go between the area of Ai and Bethel. And that was the place where he had set up his altar before the Lord. That was that place where he met with God and called on the name of the Lord. And so that's what he did. It says in verse 3 and 4, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, Abram had already called on the name of the Lord, but he went back to Bethel to call on the name of the Lord again. Not because he didn't know God anymore. He did know God. But he needed to go back to the place of Bethel to call out to God and to make things right with God in his own heart, to go back to doing what God had called him to do, to continue his journey that God had set him on in following his will. And so how do I get back to Bethel? Well, first of all, I have to admit that I've departed from where I ought to be. Pastor Sastrom has been teaching on the book of Revelation and doing a wonderful job. If you've ever said, well, you know, Revelation is so hard to study and it's I don't understand it, come to Sunday school class and listen. He's been doing a great job of explaining it, and just a tremendous Sunday school lesson that he's been teaching from the book of Revelation. But there was a church that he talked about in the early part of the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus. And remember that the Lord had a special message to the church of Ephesus? He said in Revelation 2, verse 5, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works." And basically, the Lord was telling that church in Ephesus what Abraham needed to do in going back to Bethel. Remember from where you have fallen. Remember when it used to be that the joy of the Lord was in your heart. And repent. Confess the things that have robbed you of that joy. Ask God to show you any attitudes or actions that you've been harboring in your heart that you need to make right. And repent and seek God's forgiveness and seek God's help. And it says, and then do the first works. Go back to doing what you were supposed to do. The church in Ephesus needed to do that in the book of Revelation. Abram needed to do that in Genesis chapter 13. And you and I need to do that as well today. Realize that only God can correctly guide my life and that I need Him. I must find where I have gotten away from God and go back and correct it. I've got to go back to my first love for Christ. Well, in spite of Abram's failures and his faults, the Lord saw that Abram had a faithful heart. And I came across this passage in Nehemiah, of all places, where God saw that, yes, Abram wandered off into Egypt. He did something that he shouldn't have done. But God still could see Abram's heart. And listen to what it says in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. It says, "You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You," speaking about God, "you, God, found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him." He could still see in Abram's heart he wanted to please God. And so, in spite of Abram's failures, in spite of Abram's faults, the Lord saw Abram's heart. And so he goes back to Bethel, and he calls again on the name of the Lord. When you truly know the Lord as your Savior, that'll happen. You may not always do what God wants you to do, but if you truly know the Lord, then there's a desire that God has put in your heart that you do want to please Him, that you do want to obey the Lord, that you want to be at the place where God wants you to be. And that's true of Abram, and that's true of you and I if we've truly trusted in Christ. Maybe today, as a church and as individuals, we need to say, "Lord, help me to get back to Bethel. Help me to have that joy and gladness that he had in his heart and that drove him to go back to the place where he started." Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer here. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You knew that it deep in the heart of Abram, he wanted to please you. Even though he had wandered into Egypt and had lied about his wife and gotten in all kinds of trouble, and yet, Lord, when he came back to Bethel and called on your name, Lord, you were ready to continue guiding him in that journey. Help us, Lord, to look closely at 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us, Lord, to want to go back to our Bethel, that we might have that joy and gladness once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our psalm books and turn to number